Dougie McCaw here with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. One of the most common buzzwords associated with backyard chickening, especially in trendy urban populations, is sustainability. But sustainability is not so easily pinned down as a lot of us think when we say it out loud. I mean, can anything or any system last forever without breaking down or requiring input of fresh resources sooner or later? Maybe, but it seems to me like an often debatable, or at least unpredictable, point. Still, sustainability is meaningful as an ideal or principle. Backyard chickens, at the very least, should mean spending less cash than non-chickeners, not just on eggs or meat, but on vegetables, because chickens tilling and fertilizing your garden, when properly managed, will increase your yield. And also, reducing your use of pesticides for bugs and weeds. And in the case of avoiding pesticides, that's doubly good because, in case you haven't heard, they're not just an expense and a health risk, but it puts you on a destructive downward spiral of spoiling and depleting your soil for every successive crop, reducing natural defenses and nutrients, and necessitating increased inputs every year. But even if you're hand weeding and debugging, I can say from experience most of us will get weary of that drudgery and quit, which is another definition of unsustainable. I probably don't need to go on and on because I'm pretty sure most of my listeners already have a good idea about sustainability and why chickens feed into it. And yet, I've noticed an irony in that a lot of us who started chickening to free ourselves from reliance on corporate goods are still using corporate chicken feed more often than we really need to. Making sure a backyard flock has their basic needs met, greens, grain, and protein, as well as a little bit of calcium for egg production and some grit for proper digestion, for the most part, is pretty easy. It's been accomplished for most of chickening history and across the planet without prepackaged feed. I don't mean to be preachy. I do recognize that there are a number of reasons to use feed some or even all the time. My partner recently convinced me to break down and buy a bag for us to have on hand, and it has been useful. And I'm pretty sure at any rate that integrating chickens into your life will always move your position on the sustainability spectrum, even if you are resorting to feed. Still, regardless of your personal ambitions to shrink your footprint or whatever, commercial feeds are designed to fatten up a bird for meat or to deliver enough nutrients for decent laying at minimal cost and effort. They're not designed for overall or long-term health, and the eggs of a chicken eating it will lack nutrients and flavor. Commercial feed contain fillers, the most innocent of which is nutrient-poor corn, byproducts from the corn syrup and cornstarch industries. Commercial feed is also likely to contain hormones, antibiotics, and arsenic, which is used as an antibacterial agent. It's not so healthy for you, and from my own experiments, it's the only stuff that really makes chicken poop truly stink. Organic chicken feed is substantially better in many ways and increasingly available for backyard birders from pet or farm stores for those willing to pay the premium. But it's still processed food, lacking the range of nutrients and flavor that really helps chickens thrive, and I'd argue is a little less sustainable. For an urban chickener like me, with a flock of only 3 hens, it's very manageable to experiment with methods of feeding my flock whole or unprocessed foods, and to generate most of it from my own backyard. But I know that the same techniques I've developed are possible on a larger but still pre-industrial scale, especially since many of my techniques were inspired by small farmers I've read about or seen. Even in a small space, the experienced gardener can often feed themselves while also dedicating space to chicken feed crops. For just one example, if you're growing salad greens or arugula in the spring, there will come a point when the leaves are too bitter to be palatable or the plants are bolting. This is a great time to use those vegetables for chicken feed or open up the bed for the chickens to peck at for a few days before you plant another crop and fence it back up. Another technique I use is to hold off on weeding. Obviously, one should never let undesired crops grow out the plants you're growing for food, but many people don't realize that light weeds in between rows of plants can actually help retain moisture. Just remember to monitor carefully and clip those weeds when they qualify as chicken snacks, but before they get big enough to compete with your primary crops. Not all weeds are nutritious or desirable to chickens, but a few examples of common garden weeds that make great chicken food include goosefoot, dandelion, wild amaranth, and grass. Other crops can grow in the least fertile part of your garden, while also providing food that you can store over winter and feed as needed, such as sunflower or mangel beets. Mangel beets are a tuber that were very popular livestock feed crop before the industrialization of agriculture. They're easy to grow, keep well in cold storage, and are an excellent part of a balanced chicken diet. There are many crops like it that are common on integrated farms in places and points in history where industrialized food is not so dominant. For winter protein, I'm also a proponent of the worm farm. Check out my show on combining vermicomposting and chickening, available from the archives at radioforall.net. To summarize, vermicomposting worm bin is an excellent source of year-round worms for chicken feed. Worms reproduce at a rate much higher than the carrying capacity for a mid-size worm bin. I've been able to pull out handfuls of worms from my chickens daily without losing my average population. My favorite source of chicken feed, as a small-scale urban chickener, has always been kitchen scraps. I cook predominantly from scratch and from my garden. When I buy my vegetables from a farmer's market or store, I always go for the vegetables that are sold with as much of the original plant as possible, because the portions of vegetables that don't make it onto my plate are met enthusiastically by my flock. Carrot tops are a chicken favorite and are very nutritious, even though they don't seem like very good eating to me. The same goes for cilantro or parsley stems. Celery leaves, cauliflower leaves, and broccoli scraps are also a big hit. One benefit of feeding your chickens whole foods is that it also makes you think about your own diet. If the chickens are eating well from scraps, that means you're eating well from the stuff that makes the scraps. And also, having chickens to feed has freed me up to be a little more finicky about cutting off pieces of collard greens, kale, or spinach for mere aesthetic reasons, because I know it'll be eaten by chickens who could care less about the color being a little off or it being just a little bit tough. They are also quite fond of heels of bread that have gone hard, provided I either break them into peck-sized pieces or soak them in water or soup stock. The bits of rice that have stuck to the side of my rice steamer are one of their staple foods, and when a batch of oats or couscous gets infected by moths, I'm pleased to know that my flock will consider the added protein a bonus, unlike my partner. Another way to feed your chickens whole foods that cuts cost and helps eliminate waste in the food stream is to shop at farmers markets or stores that sell produce that's past its prime at a reduced rate. The practice is less common than it used to be. Supermarkets would rather throw food out than let their shoppers think in terms of bargains, but it can still be done. You can also try dumpster diving. The sad fact is that most grocery stores throw out literally tons of vegetables a month because they don't fit their aesthetic profile and store policy is not to offer discounts. Even sadder is that most are so opposed to giving anything away that their dumpsters are locked down with nearly as much security as their jewelry departments. But there are a handful of grocery stores and many health food stores or food cooperatives that allow access to their dumpsters. I think the better bet for most of us is to capture the so-called food waste before it gets to the dumpsters. Volunteering at the compost collection centers in my town, I've met many people who would love to share their food waste with chickeners. Some would even travel short distances to deliver it. This year, I've met several people who brew their own beer and enlightened me to the fact that brewing beer generates high volumes of mash byproduct that's pretty nutritious. Indeed, some home brewers make cookies for their own consumption or dog biscuits from it, but they just can't keep up with the quantities of mash produced. Chickens love it, and traditionally farmers have teamed up with breweries to collect it. But small-scale and backyard chickeners and hobby brewers have not teamed up so much, though we should. One of my very favorite ways to feed your chickens a premium diet on the cheap is the bug field trip. Find out who amongst your friends has a lot of pest bugs in their yard or garden, and hopefully they haven't used any poison to deal with the problem. You can offer to bring your chickens over for a supervised debugging. I've found that depending on the size of the yard, you can virtually eliminate a bug problem with a big buffet visit and a follow-up or two after a couple weeks. It's great for flock morale, but it's also a huge boost to the bacaw agenda because it's one of the most effective forms of chicken outreach. In my experience, show a friend firsthand how powerful a bug extractor the chicken is, and chances are you'll have a convert, someone asking you for advice on how to start their own flock. I'm Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time.